The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that would come to me." And so the father divided up the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all of his belongings and set off for a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. He longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him anything. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here I am dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" And so he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, he embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered the servants, "Quickly bring out the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all of these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, and while living, for him you slaughter the fatted calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. So, permission to approach, huh? I know you've gotten used to me staying up there in my box, and so I feel like I need permission. What an important teaching. Piece of wisdom I read during the course of the week from a great guru. He says, "It is absurd to condemn past ignorance from the place of present wisdom." Just keep that in mind. It's absurd. It's absurd. Absurd to condemn past ignorance from the place of present wisdom. And yet I do it. Think we all do. Why in the heck did I do that? And why, you know, why did I have to fall into those traps? Without realizing, the wisdom I have now is also of him. There's a great charm in that piece of wisdom. Keep it in mind as we journey through this teaching. What a great teaching. An extraordinary story, greatly misunderstood and greatly misrepresented. It begins as a result of the opening dialogue that Jesus has. Jesus is engaging the people, and the scribes and Pharisees are murmuring. What are they saying? He eats with sinners. Can you believe it? I mean, there was nobody else to eat with, right? I mean, really? How silly. He eats with sinners and welcomes them. And so he said, brothers, because that's who they were. They didn't have women in the gathering, sorry. That was part of growing up as well. Brothers, he said, let me tell you a story. They are saying to themselves, meanwhile, he just doesn't get it. We are the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. How could he possibly do such a thing? Eat with sinners and welcome them? He's nothing like us. That was the kicker. He's not like us at all. What is his issue? If he is holy, if he is the one, then he's missing the point. That was their thought. And so he says, let me tell you a story. Let me see if I can illustrate this in a meaningful way so that you can understand what I'm talking about and who I am. How wonderfully it connects with respectable sins. Confronting the sins that we tolerate. I hope you find this teaching really helpful and this parable as we continue to work in our small groups. Pay attention to the detail. The devil is in the detail. The detail is extremely important, just as it is in life itself. We've heard the parable so often. I could begin it, and you would be able to finish it, right? I would just tell you the opening. There was a man, he had two sons, and one of them, the younger one, came. You'd be able to pick it up and run with it, right? We're so familiar with it, we could say, hey, I got it. I know this one. I know the parable, and I know the solution, right? Sure. So let's look at it. On the surface, pretty simple. What a bad boy. What a bad boy, that prodigal son. Wow, what a lack of respect for his father, his brother, his family, his neighbors. What a selfish individual. How could somebody be so arrogant and selfish and self-absorbed, right? Right, right. He doesn't deserve forgiveness, right? Oh, okay. So we're not convinced, okay? Let's let that one hang there for a while, okay? He doesn't deserve to be welcomed back into his family, right? Let's leave that one hanging there, okay? Now, he made the bed, he should lie on it, right? Right? Hey, I heard that as a mantra growing up. Man, it was a kind of a lumpy bed sometimes. And that's why I didn't like this parable growing up. Because I knew exactly where I was. I was over here in the far country. Thank you. Yeah, Amy. Appreciate it. He went away And I had plenty of people to tell me, hey, you're squandering the opportunity. God knows, true. I did. But here's the boy who stayed at home. Tim, you want to hold this? Thank you. He stayed at home. Now, this was the situation, and Jesus said, brothers, I want you to look carefully and tell me what you see and what you understand. He made the bed. He should lie on it, right? His choices, he should be responsible for the choices he made, right? Right. Well, some agreement. So, here's the story. Very interesting details that Jesus presents, and the detail is pretty important. While his father was still living, this is a big piece, he said, I would like the will probated. That's pretty unusual, right? I would like for you to probate the will and give me my share of the inheritance. I can't wait for you to die. Man, I've got stuff to do, right? Not very nice. He goes off and he squanders the inheritance, loose living, whatever that is. And a great famine strikes this land. It's a great shortage. And he would willingly, and he did willingly, eat the husks that were fodder for the pigs, the swine. Nobody gave him anything to eat, and nobody did. People looked at him and probably had a response or a feeling about him. He comes to his senses. How badly off I am. It was not any great reconciliation theme, but it was a basic, fundamental thing. Look at how badly I am doing. Look at how badly off I am in my situation. And it was enough to stir him. What will I do? I'll return to my father. I won't ask him for sonship. I destroyed that. God, the choices I made, how could I expect him to welcome me back as a son? But here's what I'll do. My father has a lot of servants. I'll say, Dad, I'm sorry. I really blew this one. How about welcoming me back as a servant? And so he gets his plan in place and he heads off seeking forgiveness. Most people, as they read this parable, they say, that father, he should have kicked his ass, right? I mean, really, in simple terms, he should have taken him, if you prefer like a little better language, he should have taken him to the woodshed, right? I mean, really, isn't that what people think? Come on. It's what we think all the time. It's the only way in the face of such a struggle. It's the only way we think. In the face of a struggle, let's go get them. They are a pain to us. Let's kick them. It's a response that's born out of poverty, not out of riches. Let's go get them. Kill the buggers. Let's take them out. It's a constant mantra that we got to deal with in life. Let's get rid of. That's born out of poverty, nothing else. I run out of sincere and serious effort. And certainly we can understand it with people. You reach the end of the rope. Tough love and all of the other things. And for most people, they end the parable there because they're just have extended everything to try and bring it about. But the parable just begins there. Most people settle for it and say, well, that's it. Deal with that son and now let's move on. And Jesus said, no, no. Many people say, man, that father was stupid. I would not be thinking welcome when somebody absolutely abuses the inheritance. Inheritance is terribly important to us. He failed, gave him a chance. What more can I say? Let me put it this way. There's an Australian soap opera. I catch it when I'm in Ireland because my sisters are big fans. It's called Home and Away. It's an interesting title, right? Home and Away, we know what it means. You know, you're either home or you're away, right? Right? Yeah. I mean, you can't be both, right? Maybe. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's possible to be home and be totally away. This is the real story in the parable. Let's look at the other boy, the other son. He never left home. He stays home all of the time. He doesn't ask for his share of the inheritance, but he gets it because the father divides up the property between them. The detail. They both got the share. He's proud that he never left home, right? Hey, I've been here with you all the time. I'm your man. While it would appear that he feasted well in his father's house, he didn't want for anything. Tragically, he was intensely hungry. No matter how much he had to eat, no matter how much food he had. And so he began to chew on the cud. What was the cud? Jealousy, hatred, envy, impatience, anxiety, frustration, discontentment, pride, judgmentalism, sins of the tongue. You ever heard of those? Yeah. Amen. Everything that we have in the book that we are studying at the present time, every single thing. Here he is, manifest every one of them. Sins of the tongue. Your son, not my brother, your son. You are celebrating your son who went away and cast aside the inheritance and abused it. What is wrong with you? Your son, not my brother. What an interesting thing. There's no sense or no experience of coming to his senses. His father goes out and pleads with him, my son, please listen to me. You have been here all of the time. I've been with you all of the time. What is wrong with you? What is wrong? You've been here all of the time. Everything I have is yours. But he had no desire for forgiveness. No, he wouldn't come in. Do you think his father should have kicked his ass? No, I'm serious. Do you think he should have taken him to the woodshed? Well, if he's going to take this brother, why would he not take this brother? Man, you talk about problems. Issues. Wow. That's the greatness of the parable. It's quite possible to be at home and to be away at the same time. It is possible. Thank you, Tim. Good job. It is possible that the younger son was more close to home than the other son. You get it? Hey, he was saying to the folks who had their question at the beginning, look at here. You're great at seeing the sin and the faults and talking about and complaining and griping about the faults of others. Who was that son? That was them. Very easy to be sitting in the judgment seat. But when you are, be aware of the fact that you're not at home. It's a story that totally undoes everything else, all of our beliefs. Because it's really not about the two boys. It's about us. See, I am both of those. I used to think that was me. But I am both of those. And that's when we begin to understand the parable. And that was what was lacking in them. They couldn't integrate the realities. It's one or the other. And he's saying no. Because it wasn't a story about how you father or how you raise up or bring up. It was a story that was simply directed at who he was himself and who his father is. Not about your fathering. It's a story about how generous my father is. It's a story about how generous your father is. Thank God. My God is not into ass kicking or taking me to the woodshed, as I was told growing up. He's taking an inventory, he's making a list, he's checking it twice. Untrue. That's not my God. This is my God that Jesus is telling me about. And I got to deal with that reality. He's not wanting to get me to the woodshed. No, he's wanting to get me to the kingdom. He's out to get me, but not in the way they told me. He's out to get me to redeem me. He is not a God who is trying to give me grief, but one who's trying to give me love. We read this parable and we think retributive justice because it's the only justice we know in our world. Retributive justice is you did this, this is what you deserve, and this is what you are going to get. And thank God, my God is not like that at all. My God is not retributive God, much as we have proclaimed him that way. My God is singularly and definitively a God of restorative justice. My God knows only one thing, and that is about restoring. He is committed to healing all, restoring all, and bringing all to salvation if I let him, if I accept his invitation. And so the beginning of the parable, the reason he told the story, they said, "You're not like us at all." They were absolutely right. He certainly is not like them at all, thank God. How much we have to be grateful for. He's not like me at all. He's not like any of us. He is rich and compassionate and abounding. And so Jesus could well tell them, folks, listen to this story. I'd like to introduce you to some people who have been extremely helpful to me during the past. Well, they began as team in September. They are our senior leadership team who helped me in decision making and to guide us in moving our parish from maintenance to mission. They're a very devout group of people. They meet every Wednesday from 4 to 6 to help guide us in terms of where we are going in our parish community. They're the senior leadership team, and we are guided by Divine Renovation, which we've mentioned to you many times before. Father James Mallon and his team out of St. Benedict Parish in Nova Scotia. And they directed us to have a team to help us put together a planning process for how we would move from maintenance to mission. These people are pretty passionate and devout. And they will tell you a little bit about themselves and how they came to be. So please come on up here and let's meet them. This is Lee Watt, Tony Schmidt, Sarah O'Donnell, Rebecca Harris, Karen Cox, and Jenny Romero. These people are very devout and dedicated to this process because it requires a huge chunk of time. Every Wednesday from 4 to 6, faithfully. And then the webinars that we have twice monthly, being engaged in those and the dialogue with other teams around the U.S. And then the coaching and the instruction that we have every other week for the team 1 week, and then the off week for the pastor. It's a big commitment, and very grateful for that commitment that you've made to this process. And if you are interested in making a big-time kind of commitment to helping and supporting our parish, yes, we'd certainly like to hear from you, and you're very welcome. But we have, as they pointed out, a pretty good and definitive process for trying to bring the gifts and leadership skills of people to the fore. One of the great difficulties we have in our Catholic Church, we just place people into things, and quite often it's not a suitable ministry for them, but they may have gifts that will be extremely beneficial in another area. And I think in order for us to be really effective as church, we've got to determine that and say, hey, here is where your gifts are, and they can really benefit the church and be used by the church effectively. So I want you to welcome all of these people. Thank them for the service and ministry that they give to us on our behalf. Okay? Thank you all.